The accursed of God. I mean, you'd think when you hear the accursed of God, I'm going to go back to the Old Testament and talk about all the accursed people. And that's not our focus tonight. We're going to look at a passage in the New Testament. There is a certain doom upon those who love not the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Corinthians 16:22, very small statement right in his closing remarks, Paul says, if anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. And he uses the word Maranatha, which means our Lord cometh. Yes, our Lord is coming, so we have to be ready. But the only people whom the Lord is going to receive into his kingdom are those that love him. So, Paul wrote many instructions to the Corinthians, and we talk about them. And he rebuked them about party strife, chapter 1, fornication, chapter 5, marriage, chapter 7, Christian liberties, chapter 8, their dress in worship, chapter 11, their partaking of the Lord's Supper, also in chapter 11, the nature and use of spiritual gifts in chapters 12 through 14, and the resurrection of the dead, chapter 15. And like we found out this morning in chapter 6 about taking each other to law. So he rebuked them on many things, and he was making a lot of corrections. Now from these we can gather that maybe at one time they weren't a big deal, but the way they were using them, it became a big deal. So he had to make some, as we said this morning, he had to tweak a little bit. Do a little tweaking and get these people back on the right track. Now, we know there's such thing as positive teaching. And everybody likes positive teaching because that's the ones where they hear that God loves you and he wants the best for you. And, of course, the negative teaching isn't there. So, it is delightful to tell of the goodness, the love, and the mercy of God. And it is so nice to hear about those things. To tell the spiritually sick of the great physician that we read about in Matthew 9:12. To tell of dying of eternal life. That there is a hope in heaven. And John 3:16. To tell the lost that there is a Savior. Luke 19:10 and 1 Peter 1:3-9. So yes, there's some great stories here, and it's very positive. And of course, people like to feel good, and they don't want to hear that negative stuff. They just want to hear all the good stuff. To tell all of a better world to which they may go and in which they may live if they will do so. Of course, we read about the great city of heaven there in Revelation 21. But then there's negative teaching, which is also just as important. It is not so pleasant to have to tell people that the terror of the Lord is there. 2 Corinthians 5:11. The threatenings of his word. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. And what did that say? Basically said those who know not God and keep not his commandments, God is going to deal out retribution on them. And then they will be separated from God forever. We talk about the wrath to come. People don't like to hear about that. And so when we come to 1 Corinthians 16:22, you think that maybe there is no more of a fearful passage in God's word than this particular text right here. And of course it's placed in the same category with false teachers. Remember what Paul said about the teachers who would teach something different. He says, if we are an angel of heaven preaching to you any other doctrine than what you've already received, let them be accursed. In other words, let the wrath of God come down upon them. Why is that? Because the truth that was preached is able to save souls, but those who teach otherwise are condemning souls because of it. And that's what they do. And of course, false teachers and idolaters, they're to be dealt with swiftly. We know what happened back in the Old Testament. You get any of these people in the Old Testament, the command was take them down and stone them to death. Get that cancer out of your midst. Get that weakness. Get the sin out of your midst. When the children of after Jericho, and the children of Israel went to fight at Ai, they lost the battle. Why? God said, because there is sin in your midst. Now here we have a bunch of probably 100,000 warriors, and there's one person caused them to lose that battle because that one person was guilty of sin. So sin is dangerous. It can cause a lot. One person doing it, yes, they have to answer for it, but they can infect everybody. We know how false teaching goes. One person with the wrong idea can start teaching things, and next thing you know, everybody has a misunderstanding of God's word. So we're going to consider this text seriously, and we're going to look at it. See, the characters that are described here, first of all, those who love not the Lord. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about the faithful Christians out there, those who honor God and keep his commandments. He's not talking about them. He's talking about those who don't love the Lord. And then, of course, we're going to get in a little bit and what qualifications it takes to fall in this category of not loving the Lord. See, there's no need to refer to the infidel, the blasphemer, the vicious sinner, the criminal, or persecutor. We don't have to talk about them. Why? Because we know God is not going to accept them. We're talking about those who at one time fell in the category of faithful child of God. That's who we're talking about. But for some reason, they just kind of set that aside and decided, well, they stopped doing what they're supposed to do, and that is love the Lord. So the doom of these others is understood. And yes, in general, we accept it. And we know that's what's going to happen to them because the Bible tells us that. Now, Christ is not loved if we do not allow him to come in and dwell within our hearts. And we have to understand that. Revelation 3:20 talks about the church, Laodicea, and talking about the fact that they've lost their love. They don't love God anymore. And of course, Galatians 2:20, where Paul talks about the fact that Christ lives in me. It's not I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's what I'm to these people. At one time, they were faithful. They allowed Christ to live in their hearts. But then, for some reason, they just kind of gave it up. And then, of course, the writer there in Revelation said, you people are dead. You don't know it. You're walking around, you're functioning, but you're dead. Of course, he meant spiritually dead. And that's true. That's what happens. When people, all of a sudden, the zeal is gone, when they don't really understand and think about Christ all the time, basically, they've given up on Christ. They've just gotten busy doing their own thing, and so Christ is no longer the most important thing in their life. And that's who these people are. See, Christ is not loved if we do not obey him. We understand that. That's what the scripture says. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And who is it that loves me? He who does my word. That's what he says there in John 14:23. And so we understand that. And of course, once again, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9 talks about the retribution on those who do not keep his commandments. Christ gave us a lot of commandments. His designated appointees, his messengers to mankind, the apostles, he gave them the instructions to give to people. And we have those commandments. They are there for us. We can read them in his word, and we can practice them. We should hear them in church, but a lot of people don't. And so, if we don't do what he says, it just means we don't love Christ. Now, nobody's going to say, well, I don't love Christ. Nobody's going to say that. Everybody says that, right? Yeah, but just saying it doesn't make it so. We know that's the case. We know that doesn't the case. You know, if I got down low and said, what am I? And I got down and started flapping my wings and quack, 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 quack. You're a duck. No, I'm not. I'm a human being. Maybe acting like a duck, but I'm a human being. A lot of people says I'm a Christian. Remember Titus 1:16, they profess to know God, but their deeds deny him. So people can say all they want, I'm a Christian. And a lot of people do. They all walk around, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. But they're not obeying Jesus Christ. See, if we do not abandon the world to him, for him. See, Christ is not loved if we do not abandon the world for him. In other words, get rid of all the worldliness in our lives. We have to set it all behind. You know, there in Luke 9, talking about deny yourself. Luke even adds the word daily. You know, some people, well, I deny myself. I'll deny myself Sunday morning, and when I go to church, and I'll behave myself. Then I'll back to my old ways Sunday night and the rest of the week. That's the way some people act. And no, we've got to give up and deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. In other words, all the time. It's what we're supposed to be doing. Because we cannot hold the world in such high esteem. There in 1 John chapter 2, talking about this world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. What's going to happen to it? It's all going to perish with the using. But if we love Christ and do his will, we're not going to perish. So the question is, do you really love the Lord? And that's the question we have to ask. And like I say, nobody's going to say, I don't love Jesus. I don't love the Lord. Nobody is going to ever dream to say that unless they basically don't even believe in God. Nobody's going to say that, especially people go to church. Do you love Jesus? Oh yeah, I love Jesus. We hear that all the time. But if you don't love the Lord, you'll be accursed when he comes. That's what it says. And that's a reality. You'll be separated from him. As there is Second Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. They will be separated from the love of God. Separated from his character and everything about him. They'll be cast off into a place which Jesus described as torment. And cut off from God's presence. You know, sometimes some people like to be alone. And there's at certain times, you know, every now and then, we all just like to get by ourselves, be alone. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what if all of a sudden you found yourself alone permanently with no chance of getting in contact with anybody? That's a scary thought when you think about it. And that's what's going to happen to those people cast in the outer darkness. They're going to be alone throughout eternity, not to mention the suffering that they'll be facing. So we need to, as Christians, spend our time together, encourage each other, so that when we go to heaven, if we're faithful, if we go to heaven, we'll be there with Christ and God forever and ever. And that's what we really want to do. If you don't love the Lord, you're going to be cut off from heaven with all its glories. And a lot of us, we've been going to church most of our lives, some of us just more recently, but still, we have that hope that is instilled in us that we can go to heaven, but the challenge is, do we really love God? And like I said, everybody's going to say it, but how do you prove something? How do you prove you have faith? Well, James chapter 2 tells us that. Says, show me your faith by your lack of works. I'll show you my faith by my works. This is how we demonstrate to others we have faith in God, by our actions. And this is the same way we demonstrate we have love for the Lord, by our actions, by what we do. And that includes denying ourselves, putting away what we personally want to do, and doing what He wants us to do. And if we don't love Him, we'll be cut off from the hope of salvation forever. And so that's going to happen. And we don't want that to happen. We don't want that to happen to you. So that's why we have lessons like this, to talk about these things. Like I said, it's not enough to love in word only. Like I say, you can tell someone you love them, but what they really want is you to show it, right? Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we hear this husband-wife relationship. Well, he says he loves me every day, but he never does anything around the house, and he never helps around the house. He never does the dishes or cooks or anything like that. I mean, we hear things like that, and sometimes it's kind of cute. But we have to realize that if all we're doing is giving lip service to Jesus, that's not going to be acceptable. We might get out in the marketplace or out in the public place, tell the world, I love Jesus. You know, Jesus warned about people like that, right? Said, beware of those who stand in the marketplace and make these long prayers and really stand up there to be seen by men. Right. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we will stand before God. We're going to give an account of our actions. You're not going to give an account just because 14, 18, 28 years ago you were baptized. That's not what you're going to be judged on. You're going to be judged on your actions. And for us, those are the actions we have today. And if we live until tomorrow, those are the actions we're going to be judged on. The fact that we may have been baptized 40-something years ago is not going to mean anything. See, Matthew 25, he talks about those who basically did not serve the Lord. He says they're going to go off into eternal darkness. That's what we need to do. Luke 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus over there in comfort in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man, and he's in torment in this flame. He says, hey, send Lazarus over and give me some water. And Abraham explained that between you and me, there is this great gulf fixed that no one can cross over. Nobody can cross over. They can jump into a 747, or they can jump into a supersonic transport. There's no way they're going to get from one place to the other. Once you go, your destiny is established. And when does that happen? The moment you die. The moment you die, you're going to know. You're going to lift up your eyes, and you're either going to be in torment or you're going to be in paradise, in comfort. And that's something we all have to consider. Where is my eternal destiny? And if I'm just kind of piddling or playing at this church thing, it's not going to cut it, folks. Like I said, we got to serve Him daily. We have to do so in deed and in truth. 1 John 3:8 says, do not love in word only, but in deed and in truth. Doing what He says that we're supposed to do. Truly love the Lord is to keep His commandments. 1 John 5:3, this is how we show our love for Him, by keeping His commandments. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So once again, let's read the text. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Our Lord cometh. 1 Corinthians 16:22. Burn that into your memory banks if you want to, because we have to demonstrate love for Jesus, and we do that by keeping His commandments. And that's why we always talk about keeping His commandments, because if we don't keep His commandments, we're going to be in this category of accursed. And who does that include? Well, it includes the rapists, it includes the murderers, it includes all the shysters out there, all the wicked people, all the atheists out there, that, and those of other religions who want to kill us and things like that. So we need to be aware of what it means to be accursed from God. We don't want to fall in that category. We want to hear words like, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what we need to do. Once again, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7-9, he that knows not God and obeys not the gospel will be banished from the presence of God and the glory of his power. And you really can't get any more accursed than that. That's what it is. So why not prove your love for the Lord today while you still have the opportunity? And if you fall in that category that you haven't been serving him the way you should, it's time to start. Start from this moment forward and serve him daily. We encourage you to do that. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.